Got your Bible, turn to the book of Proverbs, chapter number 10. Tonight, book of Proverbs, chapter 10. For the month of February, maybe on into March, I wanted to take some time with the Proverbs, especially from chapter 10 on. For we find in these chapters verses that are not connected, really. Though they are very familiar, they have many verses that go with them, but the subject matter can change from verse to verse very easily. They're like a little sermon all themselves. And the reason I'm doing this is for those who teach the Word of God, as well as those who are being taught by the Word of God. For one of the things that we have a great privilege to do with young people is to teach them the principles of the Word of God. To teach them the things that are practical in life. They might be able to go forward and know how to handle situations. The book of Proverbs is a tremendous psychological book. It's one that we can look at and we can see how people behave, how we're to behave toward them. We find just marvelous things. What I have done with these is something that I was taught many years ago, and that is to condense them a little bit more. Notice verse number 1. Let me share with you what I mean by that. In verse 1 it says, "The Proverbs of Solomon, a wise son, maketh a glad father, but a foolish son is the heaviness of his mother." And I simply wrote down in my mind and on paper as well, wisdom brings happiness. Wisdom brings happiness. And last week we dealt with this verse along with the next 4 or 5, and we looked at some tremendous truths that are there. Tonight I'd like for us to go to verse number 6. I think that's where we left off. If not, we're going to look at it again. But we look and we see some tremendous truths that are given to us. You back up to verse number 5 and notice what he... verse number 4 knows what he says. "He becometh poor that dealeth with a slack hand, but the hand of the diligent maketh rich." Diligence pays off. Verse number 5 says, "He that gathereth in summer is a wise son, and he that sleepeth in harvest is a son that causes shame." And basically, and I wrote down this and discussed it a little bit with you, work must be done at the proper time. There's a proper time to do things, and there's a proper way to do things. Last year, to illustrate to you how some things are not quite right, Kim woke up. Kim Rod, she woke up. It was Valentine's morning, and she'd had a dream. And she dreamed that Francis had bought her a diamond necklace. And she told Francis that. And she said, "What do you think that means?" And he said, "It'll all become really clear tonight." She was excited. And that night, he came in and he had a little package. And she opened it up. And it was a book. And the title of the book was, "How to Figure Out What Dreams Mean." Timing was horrible. And sometimes we do things in the wrong time. Work must be done at the right time. "He that gathereth in summer is a wise son." But notice verse 6, where we're going to go tonight. Before we read that, let's go to God in prayer. Father, thank you so much for the privilege that we have this evening to hold in our hands this beautiful book, the Bible. Lord, thank you that it is authoritative. Thank you, O God, that when we read its pages and we read its words, that we can know that they are the very words of God. And you have preserved these for us that we might be able to behold them and understand the great truths of God. We learn from your book that we didn't evolve from an ape, but we were created by the very hand of God. We learn from your book that though we've sinned, you gave us the Savior, your very Son. Lord, we learn from your book that, as the girls just sang, we can operate in the grace of God day after day. How we thank you for that. And so, Father, tonight as we come to this chapter and these words and the thoughts that are here, the tremendous truths that you laid before us, I pray that you will help us not only to speak forth, but also to listen with attentiveness, that we might gain, we might be able to make use of your word. We pray in Jesus' name, amen. If you notice with me, verse number 6, what it says here, blessings are upon the head of the just, but violence covereth the mouth of the wicked. Now, when I read the word of God, there's something that I like to do, and that is to form pictures in my head. And so as I'm thinking of this picture, and I'm thinking of blessings being put upon the head, I'm thinking about as men would lay their hands upon another, especially in ordination, and confer upon them the blessing of ministry that they might go forth. And I that's a picture that comes in my mind. And at the same time, I look and I see in this verse, it mentions here violence covering the mouth of the wicked. Oh, I can remember those times when I was a little boy that my mouth didn't say the right thing. And there were times if I didn't reach up and put my hand over it, my mother would. Matter of fact, my mother would sometimes use a little extra force, you'd call it a slap, across the mouth. Somebody said she shouldn't have ought to done that. That's cruelty. Well, it taught me something. Don't mouth off when your mother's listening. And when you get that down pat, don't mouth off any time. Amen. But I looked at that and I'm seeing this in my mind. Blessings upon the head of the just. And I'm thinking to myself this. The kind of life we live, the just person, the person who's living that kind of life that shows himself to be justified in the eyes of the Lord, a person who's living as a saved person ought to live, he's got the hand of blessing upon his head. And I think about that head, the place where we ought to be thinking, amen, that place where we make our decisions. And as we have the blessings of God and we are headed in the right direction, oh, how we have the blessing of God. And yet we find that there is a time when we are wicked, the mouth needs to be covered. And it needs to be hushed of its ignorance. And we find that violence is the covering of that mouth. As we go on into verse number 7, notice what it says in verse number 7. He says, the memory of the just is blessed, but the name of the wicked shall rot. Many times I've used this in funeral services because it is so appropriate for that kind of a time. The memory of the just is blessed, but the name of the wicked shall rot. Names are forever branded. A good name is going to exist eternally. There are people that we remember that they bring blessing to our soul. There are others that we just soon forget, and we do forget. But God's teaching us a valuable lesson here, and that is, if we're going to make a mark in this world, it's not going to be through wickedness. It's going to be through living the right kind of life. Verse 8 says, the wise in heart will receive commandments, but a prating fool shall fall. By the way, that word prating means one that talks foolishly. And maybe I could also say in that incessantly. I mean, they just don't ever shut up. Okay, but notice again, the wise in heart will receive commandments. And I wrote down this in my notes, and I think of this oftentimes. Listening benefits. Listening benefits, but babbling befalls us. You know, some folks, if they realize that they have one mouth and two ears, and that God wants us to use them appropriately, we might get a little bit farther. If we would listen more and talk less, we might find ourselves going a little bit farther. Listening benefits. Taking instructions is very difficult in this age. Most men don't listen too well. I've been, this last political cycle has been very amazing to me as I've listened to the news media and all the reporting, all the things that get reported us. And then I listen to the people that actually said it, and it's amazing the difference. People don't listen closely, don't really know what's taking place. One of the most difficult things I find in education with young people is to get them to listen to instructions. When we give a test in our school, most normally a student, though we can tell them 1,000 times, the first thing they're going to do is look at the problem and begin to work it and never, ever pay attention to the instructions. I brought a little sheet of paper in the other day. You remember that? And I had found this little thing, and it had about 25 or 30 things on it. I said, we're going to take a test today, and I handed it out to all of our students. And though they're all different ages and all different grades and all that sort of thing, I gave it to everybody. And it was hilarious to watch our young people take that test. And the first thing that it tells was, make sure you read the entire test before you do anything. The next one said, put your name at the top right-hand corner of your paper. Immediately, I saw kids writing their name at the top right-hand corner of their paper. They were following that direction, but guess what direction they had forgotten? The first one. And there was some instructions. I mean, they were hilarious, actually. And one time, I believe they were supposed to get up out of their seat and shout their name. Was that what it was? Yeah. And so they got up and they shouted a name, sat back down. I remember the very first student I saw, they looked around. Nobody had done it yet. And they didn't know what to do. And they just sat there and kept looking. Pretty soon somebody got up and shouted, and it was like, whew, and they got up and shouted their name. Two or three questions later, it said this: walk around the classroom and say, I think it was, I love school. And so pretty soon we had this little parade of young folks walking around saying, I love school, I love school, I love school. Because I had told them very, very distinctly, make sure you follow all the directions and do exactly what is told. This is a test to find out. All but three kids failed the test. I had three kids, that read all the way through and got to the last question on the test. And the last one said, don't do anything. Just turn around and smile at the teacher. Three kids. Illustrative of what it means we don't listen well. But oh, I'll tell you what, we can continue on babbling to where it is downright annoying. And God is telling us something here. The wise in heart, what do? They receive commandments. They're listening to instructions, trying to follow those instructions. A few weeks ago, I don't remember what we did. We bought something. And you know, you buy furniture and different things, and you think it's going to come all together. And you come home with this box, and it's got 1,400 pieces in it. And it has instructions, and when you're opening the box, somehow the instructions get tore a little bit, or a whole lot. Or whoever put them in there had them wadded up rather distinctly. And Jeff and Teresa came over, and I just praise the Lord. and began to look at that, and I think Jeff began to try to put it together and realize this isn't working right. And so Teresa gets out the instructions. Really, watching both of them work at this thing was kind of like watching the old Laurel and Hardy movies. But she was trying, and he was trying to listen to her. But before we want to actually accomplish things like that, when you got, you know, 1,600 parts, what did I say a while ago? 12, I think it went up. And you got all these parts, and you don't know where they all go. You've got to listen to the instructions. Listening benefits. And how we need to pay attention to this one. Parents, write that one down. You know when the Bible says to put them over the your doorpost in your house? This would be a good one to print up there. Okay? And you might put in there your own little words. Maybe you might put in there, children, pay attention. Amen? Parents, amen? Wake up, alrighty. It says the wise in heart will receive commandments. Notice verse number 9. He that walketh uprightly walketh surely, but he that perverteth his ways shall be known. He that walketh uprightly. There is a walk that brings to us a confidence and a security. And I say in that walk that there's an old phrase that says, honesty is the best policy. And I think that is exactly what he's trying to teach us here. Walking uprightly walketh surely. My mother used to tell me, son, don't tell lies. And then she'd say, son, if you tell a lie, you're going to have to tell a lie to cover up the lie. And she says, son, you're going to have to then tell a lie to cover up the lie that you used to cover up the lie that you told in the first place. And then she said, son, if you tell a lie and you tell a lie to cover up the lie that you told in the first place, and then you got to tell a lie to cover up the lie that you told to tell cover up the lie, and then you have another lie, then you're going to have to tell another lie to cover up the lie, to cover up the lie, to cover up the lie, to the lie, the whole, you know what I'm saying? And I've already lost my way. And it's exactly what she said, you'll forget. But you know, when we walk uprightly, when we walk the way we ought to, we walk in honesty. It gives us confidence and security. And people begin to look at that kind of reputation. They know which way you are. Because in verse number 9, the latter part says, he that perverteth his ways, what? Shall be known. And so how we need to understand that. Verse number 10, notice what it says. He that winketh with the eye causes sorrow, but a prating fool shall fall. He that winketh with the eye causes sorrow. Now I think there must be a little bit more to that than the flirtatious wink of somebody to somebody else. But I do believe it's trying to teach us something. Our speech and our intentions must go together. And sometimes we use deceptive gestures that hurt others. How we need to be careful. You see, it's not only what we say, it's how we say it. Here's the difference between men and women. Men, for the most part, they're going to listen to what somebody says. And by the way, there's nothing wrong with this. God made women different than men. Y'all did figure that out, didn't you? And if you don't know which one you are, if you're having problems with identity of your gender, we'll be doing biology 101 right afterwards. We'll figure that out for you. It's really simple. Okay? Time out. If you are a guy and you want to go to the girls' best restroom around here, don't even think about it. You say, well, you're not up to date. You've got it. Amen? You understand very clearly. Okay? If I find out some pervert has walked into the bathroom with one of my granddaughters, I will probably have to stand in line behind my sons. But I'll be there. And that can be gone both ways. I don't know why I got off on that, but some things need to be said sometimes. But women, when they look, when they hear somebody, they're looking more at how it's being said. I can say something very truthfully to my wife, but if I'm in a moment, I'm feeling kind of tense with something, and I just say it, and it sounds a little bit angrily, though I told her the exact truth, it's going to upset her. And I used to get upset with that myself. But hey, listen, we need to be careful not only what we say, but how we say it. It's very important, amen? And God's trying to teach us that. Our young folks need to understand that. This book was written by Solomon to his son that he might have wisdom. In other words, that he might make wise choices. And what's a wise choice? Say what you mean and say it with the right kind of attitude and that which can be seen as well. And again, don't be caught with foolish babbling as we find in the latter part. Go to verse number 11. I may stop here, but notice verse 11. It says, "The mouth of a righteous man is a well of life, but violence covereth the mouth of the wicked." Interesting words. The mouth of a righteous man is what? A well of life. A lot of our young folks today don't understand some of these things, but when I was growing up, we had a well. And I'm not too sure exactly why, but we lived about halfway down the side of a hill. On top of the hill was the well. I would have thought you could have got water easier at the bottom, but they got it at the top. And so we were uptowners by this time. We didn't have to go out and make sure the windmill was working and all that sort of stuff. By the way, there were still many of those that were like that, but we had an electric pump. And would pump the water out, and it would come down the hill through a pipe and go into a cistern. We were uptown, folks. You got to understand, we were wealthy, good farmers. And we had a cistern, and we had running water in our house. You didn't turn the spigot. We had one of these handles you go up and down with. We had the little pump on the inside of the house. We didn't have to go outside. We did have a spot outside you could go out because there was an old well there. But I learned at an early age, there's nothing like a drink from the nice cold well. Some of you, you'd taste that and you'd say, boy, that is icky. It's got all that iron in it, and it's got those things, and you'd want to hook up a water softener, and you want to have a filter, and you want to do all that stuff to that. And then you'd go out, and you'd go buy supplements and iron tablets so that you'd have enough in your system. You could have drank it to start with. We always had an old tin cup hanging on the well. We didn't have a Dixie cup dispenser on our well. And you didn't get your own little clean glass. If you wanted to clean, you just put an extra pump on the thing and wash it out, and then you drink it. If you didn't feel like doing that, you just drank it the way it was. Oh, did that taste good in the summer when you were hot and sweaty? And I think about that. That's a picture that comes to my mind. The mouth of a righteous man is a well of life. He brings refreshment to others. And I would say this to you, and I would say to parents, this is something you need to teach your children. Listen to good men. Listen to them. Note, he must be a righteous man. He must be somebody who knows the Lord. But oh, how we need to listen to those. There's an education as we listen to folks, especially who are older and been through some things, who've experienced some things in life, and we can hear it What a blessing that is. These young folks who are writing today, and when people walk up and ask them, what are you upset about? And they don't even know what they're upset about. They need to get with some folks and just listen to them. They need some wisdom imparted to them, and how we need that in our society today. But listen to good men. How needed that is. I'll go on to verse 12. Hatred stirreth up strifes, but love covereth all sins. That's an interesting as I think about that. Strife or harmony? They are determined by your inner character. Are you a person who has hatred or a person who has love? Strife is that which is always brought about because we do not have a good heart. It's bent upon self as opposed to being directed towards the Lord. And so we find so much strife today, but love covereth all sins. Love looks and wants to forgive. Love looks and it's not saying I agree with your sin, not saying I condone it. It's saying I'm willing to look past it and look to you. By the way, Mom and Dad, your love to your children is not dependent upon how they behave. Your discipline to them is. How you handle situations is. But your love is never based upon how they behave. And the greatest illustration is God, our Heavenly Father. For God so loved the world. When did He love us? Not when we were lovely. Not when we were doing everything right. He loved us in spite of who we are. I don't know about you, but I'm glad for that. And love can cover a multitude of sins. I'm thankful that Jesus died for my sins and that His love took Him there that it might wipe them all away. I'm thankful for that. We got a great God. Amen. I hope, brethren, that you take the Proverbs. I hope that you would take those and begin to let God just open them up to you. If you will read one of these and take some time to meditate upon it and allow God to form some, perhaps a picture as He does in my mind. You can take and use those things to help those round about you. God gave them so we have wisdom. What's wisdom? Wisdom is not knowledge. It includes knowledge. But I think wisdom is being able to take the knowledge God has given us and make the right decisions based upon that knowledge. For instance, right behind this little pulpit, matter of fact, there's one down here. There's a light socket up there. That's what we call it, I guess. There's a spot there that you can put two little wide prongs into that. We call it a plug. When I was a little boy, I'm looking at that thing and I've got one of my mother's bobby pins in my hand. And I'm thinking to myself, what would happen if I stick that in both sides? I did not make a wise decision based upon knowledge. I made a decision based upon foolishness, not even thinking. I did not know what electricity was, but I found out that day. Wisdom is what? Taking the things God's given us and making proper decisions. God's given us this wonderful book that has so many practical things in it. We've just looked at a few of them the last couple of weeks. And my goodness, what we can take with those and use and help our young folks and help ourselves to make what? Right and proper decisions. Yeah. It's there. Let's go to the Lord in prayer tonight. Father, thank you so much for this beautiful, wonderful book. One that's so practical and so up to date. It made sense in Solomon's day, and it still makes sense today because it's your eternal word.